Martin Luther King Jr.'s civil activism began, I guess, in the mid-1950s with the Montgomery bus boycott. That was the first big event he was involved with, right?
That's right. He was a young minister at that time, newly arrived in Montgomery. And I think what he did, though, in Montgomery foreshadowed the reason why he won the Nobel Peace Prize a decade later, because immediately, even during the Montgomery bus boycott, what King did was kind of link the struggles of these citizens of this mid-sized southern city to global issues of human rights and justice. So he kind of raised the stakes with his oratory, and that was what he did very, very well. Then, of course, he was interested in the principles of Gandhi. If you think about King, in fact, he thinks internationally all along. So in a sense, it's not surprising that the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to him. He's the youngest winner at the time. He's 35 when he wins it, because he had had always this linkage of civil rights in the United States to kind of global issues of human rights.
His commitment to nonviolence is common knowledge now. Every school child, thankfully, knows the story about the March on Washington, the demonstrations in Birmingham, the arrests, the violence. And yet, King's stance doesn't waver. He's committed to nonviolence, even though he's getting pressure from others. And how can you possibly not react violently when you're attacked? Despite all that, I'm wondering if the announcement of King getting the Nobel Peace Prize came as a surprise to anyone.
Well, I think at some level it was unexpected. I mean, he's young. He's an American. He's only been doing things in the United States. So in some ways, it's kind of against the grain of whom customarily wins the Nobel Prize. The fact that he was a Westerner involved in a North American-only movement is sort of out of the norm for a Nobel Peace Prize winner. His award was hailed internationally, and yet within the United States, there were people who decried his winning the award, segregationists. Bull Connor said, for instance, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel in giving King the prize. This is Bull Connor, the police commissioner from Birmingham, Alabama. Herman Talmadge decried the awarding of the prize to King, senator from Georgia.
I had read that King said at the time that he didn't believe there were any political implications involved in his receiving the award. But I've got to think the Peace Prize, almost by its own definition and character, is going to be politically charged, because if you're awarding to someone who's promoting peace, it almost implies, well, there's an opposition to that.
Yeah. And
certainly in the years since, the argument can be made that some peace prizes have been awarded for political reasons.
Right. I mean, the award winners are an interesting lot if you look at them. Henry Kissinger won it. Barack Obama won it. You know, there have been a variety of times where clearly the awarding of the Peace Prize was done to deliver a particular political message.
The reaction back home to King's winning was, how'd that go down?
In Atlanta, there are some people who think that it's appropriate to have a dinner in recognition of Georgia's first ever Nobel Peace Prize winner. They include Rabbi Rothschild of the Temple, Ralph McGill of the Atlanta Constitution, Benjamin Mays of Morehouse College, the Roman Catholic bishop in town, and others. And their plans made for a big dinner at the Dinkler Plaza Hotel in downtown Atlanta. But there are a lot of people who are opposed. King has just joined this picket line at the Scripto plant, his first time ever joining a labor picket line. And when we think about King, he's not only a civil rights figure, he's, of course, later on very much associated with anti-war statements and issues about economic justice as well. But this is the very first time, and there's feeling that he's an agitator. The business community is balking. And then Robert Woodruff of the Coca-Cola Company steps in and says that he will be one of the sponsors for the dinner. And Paul Austin, who is then the CEO of Coca-Cola, and Ivan Allen gather a bunch of businessmen downtown at the Commerce Club, and they kind of lay the law on them. They say, look, Atlanta will be publicly embarrassed in the national media if you guys don't buy tickets for this dinner. And lo and behold, tickets went like hotcakes. About 1,500 people attended the event, which was a huge success. Time magazine had a story about it saying this was a remarkable event even for Atlanta. The city got a huge boost out of it. Everybody felt good about the affair. And it was a turning point, in a sense, in Atlanta's own race relations.
The prize in those days was $54,000.
Right.
today it's
hundreds of thousands.
It's well over a million.
It's close to a million. Yeah.
What did King do with the money?
He gave it all away. He gave it to a variety of civil rights organizations. His speech is interesting because he says he accepts it in the name of the thousands of people who have been involved in hundreds of communities in the civil rights movement across the South, and kind of deflects attention from himself to the foot soldiers of the movement in a very gracious kind of way. And then he does give away the entire prize money. $54,000 seems like paltry compared to the million or so that it is today, but it was a sizable amount of money, certainly far, far more than he made annually in salary, and he gave it all away to various civil rights organizations.
Oh, Cliff Kuhn, really interesting. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.